In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, because someone dared to want you, I know that we too may want you. It has been said that there are three things that cannot be talked about. You know what they are, right? Religion, sex, and politics. Well, I think they're wrong. We do talk about these things. We just do it very badly. There is, however, one thing that we do not talk about: death. Yes, we acknowledge death when it happens, but for the most part, we do not talk about death with any real depth or substance, and certainly without enthusiasm. We don't deal with it. We deny it. We ignore it. We avoid it. No one wants to die. Well, most don't most of the time. It seems to me that everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. We don't really acknowledge, talk about, deal with death. The death of our loved ones is too real, too painful. Our own death, too scary. The relationships and parts of our lives that have died are too difficult. So, for the most part, we just avoid the topic of death. Besides, it's a downer in a culture that mostly wants to feel happy, feel good, and avoid any real difficulties. Doctors want to fix people, not accept their decline, while patients want to be cured, even of old age. I suspect that the Greeks in the gospel today did not go expecting to talk or hear about death. They just wanted to see Jesus. And who can't blame them? Jesus has a pretty good track record up to now. He's cleaned the temple. He's turned water into wine, healed a little boy, fed 5,000, given sight to the blind, and raised Lazarus. Not a bad track record. I don't know why they wanted to see Jesus, but I know the desire. I want to see Jesus, and I guess that all of you do too. Seeing Jesus makes it all so real. After all, they do say, seeing is believing. We all have our reasons for wanting to see Jesus. And wouldn't even just a glimpse of Jesus make this believing thing and this being a Christian a whole lot easier? Just a glimpse. If you want to know your reasons for wanting to see Jesus, look at what you pray for. It is often a to-do list for God. I remember as a little boy praying that I would get to go fishing and catch the big fish. Later, it was for good grades in school. Then it was to pass the New York City Board of Education licensing exam. When I wanted to move to Los Angeles 35 years ago, I prayed that God would make it happen. When my 26-year relationship was in shambles, I prayed that God would fix it. When I entered a 12-step recovery program, I prayed really hard that God would make it easy and for it to work. What was I getting myself into? When I lost my job and later that same year diagnosed with depression and other serious health issues, I asked God to stop the hurting and make it all go away. You probably know these kinds of prayers. We want to see Jesus on our terms. We don't want to face the pain of loss and death in whatever form it comes. Sometimes we want something from Jesus more than we want Jesus himself. There is a real danger that we will become consumers of God's life rather than participants in God's life. We pick and choose what we like and what we want to skip over and leave behind what we do not like, want, or understand. Christianity, however, is neither a buffet nor a spectator sport. Christianity means participating in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus sets before the Greeks who want to see him. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. If we want to see Jesus, then we must look death in the face. To the extent we refuse to acknowledge the reality of death, to the degree we avoid and deny death, we refuse to see Jesus. Really looking at, acknowledging, and facing death is some of the most difficult work we ever have to do. It is, like Jesus describes, soul-troubling. It shakes us to the very core of who we are. Talk about stepping outside of our comfort zones. There is a temptation to want to skip over death and get right to resurrection. So it is no coincidence that this week and last, the church points us towards Holy Week and reminds us that death is the gateway to new life. Death comes first. Death is not always, however, physical. Sometimes it is spiritual or emotional. We die 1,000 deaths every day. There are the deaths of relationships, marriages, financial plans, hopes, dreams, careers, friendships, health. And sometimes, if we really work hard at it, the death of our misguided beliefs and fears. Ah, but there is good news. Regardless of what it looks like, this is not the end. Resurrection is always hidden within death. Most importantly, remember that there can be no resurrection without death. Resurrection, my friends, is not a single event in time. In another life, I was part of a number of corporate reorganizations. And I learned that a successful reorganization involves the realization that it is not a single event in time, but a process of continual change and renewal. Resurrection, like a good reorg, is an everyday occurrence, not just a single event in time, and resurrection often occurs just outside our comfort zones. To the extent we avoid death, we avoid life. To the degree to which we are afraid to die is a degree to which we are afraid to truly live. Every time we avoid and turn away from death, we proclaim it stronger than God, more real than life, and the ultimate victor. The unspoken fear and avoidance of death underlines all of our what-if questions. What if I fail? What if I lose? What if I fall down? What if I get hurt? What if I don't get what I want? What if I lose the one I need most and love? What if I run out of money? What if the pain doesn't go away? What if I pick up and use again? What if I never meet someone? Every what-if question separates us and isolates us from life, from God, and from one another and ourselves. It keeps us from bearing fruit. We are just a single grain of wheat. We might survive, but we aren't really alive. Jesus did not ask to be saved from death. He is unwilling to settle for survival when the fullness of God's life is before him. He knows that in God's world, strength is found in weakness. Victory looks like defeat, and life is born of death. This is what allowed him to ride triumphantly into Jerusalem, a city that will kill, condemn, and kill him. That's what allows us to ride triumphantly through life. Triumph doesn't mean that we get our way or that we avoid death. It means death is a gateway, not a prison, and the beginning, not the end. Regardless of who or what in our life has died, God in Christ has always cleared the way forward. We have a path to follow. That path is the death of Jesus. Jesus' death, however, is of no benefit to us if we are not willing to submit to death physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Ultimately, death, in whatever way it comes to us, means that we entrust all that we are and all that we have to God. We let ourselves be lifted up in Christ's crucifixion. We allow ourselves to be lifted up in his resurrection, lifted up in his ascension into heaven. High on a hilltop in the city of Baguio in the Philippines, there is a cross. And one of Jesus' arms is extending forward as if to welcome all of us to be where he is too. Grains of wheat, that's what we are. Through death, however, we can become the bread of life and an amazingly bountiful harvest. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just that, a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So, my friends, as you prepare yourselves to keep watch, and as you approach the empty tomb, remember the arm of Jesus extending from the cross, inviting you to join him and be lifted up in his death and resurrection. Go now and be that person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond one's wildest dreams. Be that single grain of wheat that bears much fruit. Amen.